This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Maybe I didn't know that we just talked to Taylor Zarzer on the show, okay? Maybe I just wanted to talk to my guy. Maybe he feels bad because, you know, I've hit him up before and he's like, oh, I'm hiking the in Italy or something, or I'm in Hawaii taking care of my wife and kids, or I'm at, you know, the British Open or something. Always somewhere in the world. He is our good friend. You can check him out on PGA Tour Radio, ESPN and the SEC Network, and Panthers TV, which was back in action this weekend. He and Steve Smith on the call for a victory. It's our good friend Taylor Zarzer. What's up, man?
I'm usually just telling people here in Charlotte how much better Raleigh is. That's what I'm typically doing.
You guys got light rail. You've taken off. You're off and running. I will say,
you changed your mind on Charlotte?
I'll be honest. Seriously, you and I joke a lot. The ACC tournament in Charlotte was hosted very well. It was great, and the light rail is a game changer. Not only the rail itself, but the I mean this, and also now I'm like you'll hate to hear this, but I'm like a little bit more grown up, and I actually like care about things. I'm trying to learn, like, you know, city planning.
You're married now.
I know. Stop. Too much of it happened. Yes, I know. But no, I it's not just the light rail itself, which is a great people mover, but like the way they set it up, the walks beside it, the, you know, the art, and just a lot of other things that that they've got.
Well, we'd love to have you back, Hayes. You're always invited.
I appreciate that.
We love people in Raleigh. Unlike what you may think, we love Raleigh, and we love everybody to come from Raleigh here to Charlotte.
Anytime I'm in South Carolina, I visit Charlotte. You know this, Taylor. my favorite thing about you, though, is I still, every time I look at your number, I chuckle because our phone numbers are 80% the exact same. And that means, of course,
I've got the 919 area code forever.
It means that you've
lived in Raleigh for 7 years. Both of my children were born there, and I'm sticking with it until they tell me I have to switch it.
You know who the other guy is? And this guy is in the ESPN universe, too. You're like Marvel now, where it's like, you know, you don't see this guy, but you know who he is because he's in the ESPN universe. Matt Jones, the Kentucky guy. You know Matt?
Really?
He went to Duke Law, and so he has a 919 number, and I love that. Every time I hit you guys up, I'm like, you can roam, but your phone ties you back to the triangle, baby. I love it. Hey, on a personal note, because you are my friend, are you close to right now your, like, dream job? You are at the majors interviewing the guys right after they won. You are calling major college football. I mean, obviously there's always the next big game or whatever, but you are calling Panthers TV, you're calling college football, and you are calling golf, including at the highest level. Are you fulfilling dream job status these days?
I really am, and I appreciate you noticing that. I've worked very hard to try to put myself in position to do the things that I love the most, and that is what I'm doing right now, and I'm happy to report I've re-signed contracts in the last few days with all of those entities because of how much I love what I'm currently doing. Tom Suter, who to me is the best local sportscaster in the history of the state of North Carolina.
Look at this guy.
Many years ago, we used to go to dinner and we got to be very good friends when I lived in Raleigh, and I would eat dinner with him. He brought his own salad dressing to the restaurant, by the way.
Nice.
Which was
amazing. It's a boss move, yeah.
And totally on brand for Tom Suter. And while he was pouring that salad dressing, he told me in his Jimmy Stewart sounding voice that not to mess with happy, that's the biggest piece of advice that you have that you can get in professionally, no matter what you do in your career, not to mess with happy. And more than ever, I'm trying not to mess with happy because I'm very happy with what I'm doing.
It's very cool, and it's just a great fit. And, I mean, that probably goes with you being happy and obviously doing the things you love the most. But, like, you just fit so well there at golf. You can tell the golfers respect you and the job you do. You do a great job in football, and I know you grew up in that culture in Alabama. So hats off to you to do it. Obviously, there's always, you know, places to grow and new goals to set and things like that, and I'm sure you are. But it just is cool to see you at a place doing what you love and doing it at a very, very high level. And so
I appreciate that, my friend.
Yeah, I never lie to you and say, oh, I catch every one of your broadcasts. I do not. But every time I do, I'm blown away by your professionalism and how great you are and how fun you make it. It's clear you enjoy it. So, all right. dispensing with the niceties, and let's talk about these. Let's talk about these Carolina Panthers. I have been calling it. I'm not necessarily. Sometimes as a head coach, you're dealt a little bit of the the personnel that you have, right? If Matt Rhule took a job that didn't have a stable quarterback position, and he has not quite seen it stabilized at the time he's been there. But I keep equating it to almost a college-like handling of this situation. I don't necessarily mean that in a good or bad way. Maybe I'm saying it is a little bit of a bad way, because I think Matt Rhule is trying to shake off the college coach moniker. But how do you think he is handling the quarterback situation? Is there anything you would do differently right now with these two potential starters and maybe one that you think the owner wants, but you got to decide who it's going to be?
I don't know, Hayes, how much it matters, how many reps Baker Mayfield is getting with the ones as opposed to Sam Darnold and a little bit of Matt Corral through Spartanburg camp, and then just Fan Fest, and then obviously with the game this past Saturday, Baker and Sam both played with the ones and both played basically a drive apiece. Sam got the ball inside the red zone, so you got a second drive. I don't know that necessarily hurts or helps anyone by the time you get to the regular season. You do have a first-year offensive coordinator in Ben McAdoo, so a lot of people are trying to get used to each other. But everyone seems to believe behind the scenes that Baker Mayfield is getting enough reps with the one to be ready to play his old team, the Cleveland Browns, on Sunday, September 11th in Bank of America Stadium. And I think that's all that really matters. And so if you want Sam to be ready to get enough reps with the one, you want to make sure that, you have a backup plan in case Baker gets hurt or if he doesn't perform the way you expect him to play, then I think all of that is totally fine. As for what you said about, the collegial environment that Matt Rhule has, I think that's fair for you to say that, because that's what almost all of his background has been the last, decade plus, certainly as a head coach at Temple and as a head coach of the Baylor Bears. In both of those situations, year three was exponentially better than years one and two were. Maybe the same thing will happen for the Panthers. If that's going to happen, then they need Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy. They need J.C. Horn to stay healthy. They need Ike Ekwonu to be the best left tackle in the draft, which is what everybody thought he was coming in. They need all those things to help. They need all those things to happen in 2022. And I personally think Baker Mayfield needs to start all 17 games. If that happens, then I think that they are better than the Saints and the Falcons, and they could win 8, 9, 10 games by the end of the year. And who knows, maybe even sneak into the playoffs. But that's a lot of things that need to go right for Matt Rhule in year number three. I can't really scrutinize anything he's done in the preseason to prepare for the regular season, though. I think that everybody's trying to get used to this new format. Really, what's going to matter is tomorrow and Wednesday, these scrimmages against the Patriots. I hope that in the next year or two, we figure out a way to televise all these two-day scrimmages that all these teams are having against other teams, because everyone is telling me that those are the things that matter more than anything else.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the only thing Christian McCaffrey's playing in until the regular season starts. So if that goes well tomorrow and Wednesday for Baker Mayfield, then I think that'll matter more than anything else.
Okay, I don't mean this to say – I don't mind that this was repeated, because Anish Shroff was on an hour ago and said basically the same thing. So that just hammers home how important the next 2 days are. If you two guys are both saying it, then I believe it. The next 2 days are important. Now, probably – I was about to say, I can't believe they aren't televised with as much as is, but I assume that coaches just don't want – they actually run things in those scrimmages that they care about, they don't want them televised.
Right. There's a lot of secrecy to it, because they want to run more than what you see on the return to football or Fan Fest or the preseason games. They'll let you shoot some of it. They'll let, local outlets and media, they'll let media watch it, but they'll let local outlets with cameras shoot some of it. But they want some of what they do to actually show or to I guess replicate what they, some of the plays they don't want the rest of the world to see in the regular season. So that's the reason why those scrimmages matter so much. But having said all of that, like you said, I really wish we could show this, because last year watching it against the Colts for 2 days, that was by far, I thought, the most valuable portion of the preseason that the Panthers had, and I'm sure that'll be the same case tomorrow in Foxborough.
Well, they're scrimmaging with the Patriots, so that, I mean, all you got to do is get the Belichick feed. Like, he's got footage of all the Panthers' practice rooms and everything, so you just got to figure out a way to get that feed. You mentioned a couple that you started into my second Panthers question when you started saying all the things that got to go right. I'm going to hold you to one, like fill in the blank here. For the Panthers to have their best possible season, the most important thing for them is blank. And like I said, you gave some options. Is one thing more important than the other?
I really wish I could give you something other than McCaffrey at the answer.
No.
And I know
that's fair.
You know, Smitty thinks that they're not as reliant on him this year as they've been the last few years. I would still say they're extremely reliant on him. They have Deontay Foreman, who did a phenomenal job filling in for Derrick Henry and the Titans when Henry went down last year. And so I think they have somebody that complements McCaffrey a lot more than they had with, say, you know, Amir Abdullah or any of the other running backs they've had the last few years. Chuba Hubbard had a solid first year in the league, but he's not Christian McCaffrey. Foreman's closer to McCaffrey, but I still think that's the answer. This team is above 500 or was above 500 when he played last year, and they were almost winless when he didn't. So I think it's quite obvious that they need him. The way that he plays the position leads to fluky injuries, and he's had some fluky injuries the last few years. I don't think there's anything that the team could have done different to prevent those injuries. You just wonder at some point if he keeps playing the position, which has made him one of the best players in the league, that same way, that he's going to keep having these issues. And so I think that getting Foreman is a smart move. But I still think, especially in the way Ben McAdoo calls the offense, how much Baker Mayfield likes to move the pocket, Christian McCaffrey could have a big year. Like, I'm saying 2018 or 19-type big year if he plays 17 games. And if that happens, I think the Panthers have every chance to get into January.
Taylor Zarzer joining us, Panthers TV, ESPN, the SEC Network, PGA Tour Radio. I probably should hit the top 25 with you because we're in August and you can talk college football as well. But I'm still reserving that we're not quite into actual sports yet. So it's still the summer. I get to talk about what I want to talk about, and I want to talk about golf's Will Zalatoris. First of all, at what point do we start looking at weight coach Bill Haas and wonder why he – wait, is it Bill or Jay? I get my Haas's
Gary.
Mixed up. Gary Haas. I get my Haas's mixed up.
Jerry.
Yeah. How come he hasn't won more national titles? I mean, the entire PGA Tour is Wake Forest golfers. He should be bringing on the title every year.
Chris Hackett, Georgia, maybe the same sort of story. He's done an amazing – both those guys have done an amazing job of attracting talent and finding the most talented high school players in the country, that's for sure. And Zalatoris and Cameron Young are two great Demon Deacons that are examples of that. Zalatoris is off the charts, Hayes. This guy is – reminds me a lot of Jordan Spieth. He wise beyond his years, connected to Dallas like Spieth is, easy to be around, very comfortable in his own skin, intensely competitive. I don't mean this as a shot at Liv. I really don't, and I have friends that have joined their series.
Yep.
So I'm not here to pass judgment. I cannot ever envision a scenario where there will be a Liv golf event that carries the kind of juice that the end of the FedEx St. Jude Championship did yesterday with that playoff and how fired up the players were to be in it and just to how much you could feel the tension. That's what sports is all about. That's what the PGA Tour is always about. And that was one hell of a finish we had yesterday, and what a way for Zalatoris to win his first tournament.
It was fantastic. The other thing I like about Zalatoris is he got in the mind of the casual golf fan by being in contention for major after major. And one of those things, if you worry about those guys, if they don't get over the hump, and obviously this wasn't a major but a big tournament, you want to start seeing it turn into wins, or you worry that like the not winning part can weigh on you. And so it's cool to see him get a win, and hopefully that'll also translate into maybe a major win next year. I want to ask a random question, and I only got time for one more question. It was an exciting finish. I should focus on that, but I want your opinion on this. They call it a penalty on Cam Smith sort of the next day. We kind of got away from the guy who can call from his couch and call a penalty on you. I think the PGA Tour realized that was bad. But, like, do they need to put a cap on when penalties can happen?
Yes. I mean, in every other sport, there seems to be a statute of limitations, right? People may appeal a victory or, the way a game went, but that never gets overturned, in the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA or stick and ball college sports. And I think the same should apply in golf, that look, by the end of the day, you should have until really the end of competition, in my opinion, to say, okay, we caught this or we didn't. And Cam Smith didn't knowingly break the rules.
Nope.
He accidentally broke the rules. He wasn't trying to take advantage of the field. And what he did in no way, shape, or form gave him any sort of advantage. Had he dropped the ball an inch further, you know, yeah, out of the hazard, he would have probably hit the same shot. And by the way, they changed that rule a few years ago, so you now ground your club in the hazard. So who cares if he dropped on the red line and grounded his club on the hazard? That's a silly rule that needs to be changed, first of all. And secondly, you're absolutely right. The next day, you shouldn't be able to do that. What if today the PGA Tour realizes that Will Zalatoris broke some rule yesterday? Are they going to come out and announce that Seth Straka won the tournament?
Yeah.
You know, that's basically the same sort of thing. I don't like this at all. I like protecting the rules and protecting the field, but I only like doing it for about 3, 4, 5, 6 hours after the tournament's over with. And then it should be, hey, look, we didn't catch it, too bad, we'll move on. And I think that should have applied here with Cam Smith, who, by the way, just withdrew from the BMW Championship this week. Hey, he's citing a hip injury. He is still going to play in the Tour Championship the following week, but 2 weeks from now almost certainly is going to make his debut on the LIV Golf Series. And to me, that's the biggest signee that Greg Norman's gotten so far.
Yeah, that's big. I don't know if you saw the press conference with Shane Ryan, who a guy here local, you probably know, see him around the tour.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to play gotcha, but he did kind of catch Cam Smith in. Somebody asked him about the President's Cup, and he spoke about that. And so Shane said, what about the next LIV event? And he said, oh, I don't want to talk about the future. He's like, oh, that's cool. Well, you had just talked about the President's Cup, so I thought maybe you would, you know. And he was like, well, I still don't want to talk about it, which is, again, his prerogative. But I did think that was a little funny. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's quite clear Cam's got some plans for 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe another day I'm filling in. We'll do an all segment on PGA versus LIV. But I wanted to talk Panthers with you, and I did want to hit that one Cam Smith thing. And like I said, it's an interesting thing, but I don't know. I'm more excited right now to see what Zalatoris does the next couple weeks.
Well, come ride the light rail with us here in Charlotte anytime.
I will. I'll take the train down there and then ride the light rail while I'm in town. So appreciate your time. Keep up the good work. Give my best to all your girls. People don't always see this because he doesn't talk about it on TV, but Taylor is an A-plus dad as well. Keep up the good work. The rest of the Panthers.
Likewise, my friend. Pre-season. All the best to you.
Talk to you, man. The number one NC State fan that I know of, the AP Top 25 is out. Meet the Wolfpack was this weekend. It's getting very real as we stare down week one, NC State versus ECU. We talk that and a bucket list item for many people that Josh Goodson says, you need to take off your bucket list. Your life's more important than that. It is our good friend Josh Goodson for the Pack of Wolves. Check out their work, packofwolves.com. Is that the website, Josh? Do you have it right?
PackofWolvesNIL.com.
PackofWolvesNIL.com. Check it out there. They had Meet the Pack this weekend. All members of the team were there. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm just scouring the top 25, trying to figure out who the smartest rider is on the planet and who the dumbest voter is. And I've found both of those. It didn't take long, but I found both of those.
I almost put out, when I saw AP Top 25 releases at noon, I saw a tweet that announced that at like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m., I almost retweeted with, like, woe to the person who votes NC State the lowest, because Josh Goodson will be exposing you. Why don't you report it? Who had NC State the highest?
So I've actually already subscribed to his newspaper. He's a college writer. I'm not even subscribed to any newspapers, to be completely honest with you, but Michael Lev, L-E-V, from the Arizona Daily Star, is the smartest human on the planet.
This is the new... Go ahead. Sorry, but I have a thought. Go ahead.
He voted NC State number 5. He gave NC State the highest ranking of any of the voters. And for that, I mean, I am now a subscriber to the Arizona Daily Star. Cannot wait to wake up every morning to get the what's happening in Tucson and Flagstaff into my inbox.
This is amazing. You're going to be, I imagine, woefully disappointed in the lack of NC State coverage in the Arizona. But no, this is a new marketing scheme for newspapers. I realize the newspapers are in tough times. Just start voting random, like heavily followed teams into the top 25, sure. And you'll just get pick up here. Like, what's it for the football season? $10? Like, oh, yeah, I'll subscribe to your paper. Sure, let's go. All right, and who's the dumbest voter according to Josh Goodson?
I'm legit curious if this was a mistake or if this was like somebody who's just not smart. I'm gonna lean with the not smart because I don't want to just assume someone doesn't know how to do their job. But NC State was ranked in every poll of every voter except for one. And I went and looked at this guy. His name is Darren Haynes. He's a TV guy out of Washington, D.C. And what's weird about it, he's the only voter not to vote NC State. He is actually only one of two people who voted North Carolina and actually gave UNC their highest ranking of 20.
Nice.
Which I'm actually curious if he like legit meant to put NC State and not, you know, and like if it's a mistake,
yes,
is what it comes down to, because everyone else did it. He's the highest voter, but I'm just going to claim he's just not a smart person. Like, and so I'm not watching WUSA TV in Washington, D.C. You can believe that.
Before you even said it, I was going to say, did this person put UNC in the top 25? Because if they did, if you don't have NC State and you do have UNC in, I've got to put it at...
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, they want to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it anytime. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
80% chance and I don't even know how they fill out the ballot. Like, are you clicking something and he just was scrolling and he saw North Carolina and thought he was clicking North Carolina State? Like, how hard? We need to talk to an AP voter and see how hard it would be.
Joe Giglio, I know, is one.
He's around. All right, we'll get Joe. Actually, I just threw him out because he was distracting Victoria during our show. So,
this gentleman, he picked UNC. He has UNC ranked 20. There was another voter who has UNC 23. And for the record, I actually think UNC's not going to be bad this year, and if you want to rank them, I'm actually kind of okay with it, right? Like, they have enough talent coming back. I think for the most part, I know they've had some injuries that have happened, but for the most part, I think most people who follow the team are saying that yes, Sam Howell is gone and he is good, and it's not as easy to say the next guy is just as good. But I think they're pretty happy and comfortable with who their quarterback's going to be there, so. I think if you want to rank UNC, that's fine, but I don't really understand how you could rank UNC and not State, and that's just an opinion.
The guy's on Twitter. I think you don't call him an idiot, but I think you just ask an honest question, be like, hey, serious question. You're the only guy who didn't have NC State, and you had UNC ranked. Any chance you got him mixed up? I think that's a totally fair inquiry. And I'm all about the
I love the transparency.
Yes,
the way.
I love how
you can find this.
That's just what I was about to say. I am all about this is not national security. This is not, you know, private citizen voting for their state senator or whatever, which I think should absolutely be a private thing. This is sports, and this is your job, and you should be open to a little bit of criticism. Now, I get there's probably some worst case scenarios. Like, they're not people like you. There are morons that will actually harass people or whatever for certain votes. But I think overall, awards, preseason ballots, things like that, let us know who voted, because
he does cover the Commanders. Sam Howell did play this weekend. Maybe he just assumes that everybody who comes out of UNC is just a good quarterback. And he's like, yeah, they're probably top 20. They were good last year. They're going to be good again. Maybe that's what happened. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but also going to say that he is not the smartest human on the planet. at this point in my eyes.
No, we got to ask him. And it'd be funny if he like doesn't even know, but he's like, man, Sam Howell's coming out of there? Like, UNC feels like, I don't know, like a sleeping giant or something down there, you know? But yeah, Darren Haynes. All right, we're on to you. And tell me, who is the guy that ranked State fifth again?
Michael Leff from the Arizona Daily Star. Check out his stuff. Scottsdale and Phoenix, like high school sports, is going to be all up in my inbox, and I cannot wait. Until he votes them like not the highest the next time, and then I will easily unsubscribe and move on to the next guy.
I guarantee you, not every State fan is going to subscribe to his newspaper like you did, but I guarantee you the guy probably just picked up like 50 new NC State followers. Just like, this is a guy that I want to see talk football. Josh Goodson joining us from the Pack of Wolves. You can check them out, packofwolvesnil.com. All right, the season is not quite upon us, but we're into practice. We've had Meet the Pack, all that stuff going on. It's about to feel real, right? Like, you've had fun in the offseason being like, we're going undefeated, we're going for a national championship, but now the games begin. What's the pulse of the State fan right now?
Oh, God, it just depends. I mean, obviously, the State fan, and people who are listening know the State fan. There's definitely still the group of like, this is cool, but I'm going to bank on 7-5 and 8-4 just because that's what happens every year.
Sure.
Which, those are kind of not out of the realm of possibility. But I will say this: I do think that those options and outcomes are a worst case scenario, and would be seen as a disappointment more as just like an something normally that happened. I'm of the opinion that you have a good quarterback coming back. You have enough good players coming back. Obviously, they got to replace a couple running backs and the left tackle, but it's ironic that they didn't run the ball well last year anyways, even with having good running backs and a good left tackle. So I don't know if I'm just choosing to choose. I don't know if I personally am just choosing to use the, hey, if they were bad last year, they can't be any worse this year. And as long as they're not any worse this year, then maybe it's a net, you know, it's not a net negative. It's like, you know, nothing is changed from that front. Devin Leary's still back. I think that we just tend to forget as fans and such, and a lot of people have to realize it's not just NC State fans who are pumping up NC State. Like, they have the returning players, they have the draft possibilities, and they just have the experience coming back that there's a reason why they're projected to be, I know that people joke on the big game boomer type phenomenon happened.
Right.
But it's not just him. There's a lot of other outlets that do their, who's the best linebacking core in the country? Who's the best? So it's not wrong that, you know, you see the best linebacking core in the country. NC State's literally, it's probably the top two or top three lumped in with like Alabama and Georgia, right? That's a good thing to have. Who's the best quarterback returning in the country? It's not surprising when you see Devin Leary as a top five quarterback returning in the country.
Yeah.
I think because of that, unlike UNC last year, and I know people want to use that same comparison. Well, UNC did it. It was highly ranked last year, and they're not good. They can't be, you know, they're probably just do like them. Well, I think NC State has a defense that actually is better than North Carolina's was last year at this point in the season. And stuff like defense, what is it? What do they say? Defense travels. Is that like the cliche?
Sounds
that
right. And it wins championships, I think.
Defense wins championships, and it travels. And that's something that you can kind of bank on. Defense is always ahead of the offense at the beginning of the year.
Yes, definitely.
I think that's going to be the biggest difference. And I personally think their schedule sets up pretty well. A lot of people are worried about the East Carolina game. I'm not worried, but I don't think if they go lose that game, I don't think it's some like just, well, they always lose that game. Or you know, they're just going to get upset just because it happens. I think if they lose the game, like maybe ECU's just like good, and maybe NC State's just not as good as we thought. I like where they play Clemson earlier in the year, and I like their schedule, how it doesn't seem like they have a bunch of grueling back-to-backs. If they go play Clemson, they at least get to come home the next week and play a game, right?
All right,
where I'm at with NC State.
I've secured an AP voter. Just ask this one question. Turn on your microphone. I'm not even going to put on headphones. All right, Joe Giglio is an AP voter, and very importantly, you voted this year. Our question is, there is an AP voter that has North Carolina in the top 25 at 20 and does not have NC State in the top 25. He's the only person who doesn't have NC State. What is the setup when you're voting? Is it possible that he could have clicked North Carolina State instead of North Carolina? So we need that. That's well, we need you. Like, you've actually voted. Is it like, are they just next to each other? Is it a drop down click? And you're scroll, you know what I mean? Like, when you scroll to what year you were born,
you're not going to love this answer.
Well, all right.
Because it's just a flex on my part.
Okay.
I've known Ralph Russo for so long that I actually submit.
You just text him in?
Yeah. I email them.
All right.
So, but there is a system that you're supposed to use. There's like a portal. All right,
then you're worthless. If you're not using the portal, you're worthless.
So it could be a mistake. It's unlikely, though. It's your preseason ballot. You have some time with it. And they even like give you like, hey, just making sure this is what you meant.
Yeah, but
you have something.
We're giving this guy the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm okay if he made a little, like, clicking mistake. But if he actually doesn't have NC State in the top 25 in UNC, then we have serious questions about his ability as a voter. But that's okay. That's all right. Well, I just wanted some quick insight on what the actual voting process looked like. But you're chief big time, so you just, you know, carry your pigeon years in and Ralph Russo takes care of it.
Them
yes. You do. You yellow pat him, and then you read them off to him or something.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Appreciate Joe Giglio with the insight.
My apologies.
No, you're worthless. I feel bad. I brought you in just for that. All right, final question for what's NC State's win total, and why do you think they'll be over or under it?
It's 8.5, which seems kind of low, right? Thinking a number 13 ranked team. No. But the over is juiced, meaning you have to lay more money to get $100 back in the – the under 8.5 is actually the, if you're using the word, underdog of those outcomes, those two likely outcomes. NC State is 8.5. I actually think the over is not a bad play. Lay the juice. They're going to be favored. And again, when you might hear this, if you're listening to this, you might hear this going around. Like, obviously, it's not dumb to say Alabama is going to be favored in every game this year.
Right?
That's not stupid to say. But NC State is actually projected right now, this is before any games are played, to be favored in roughly 11 games. The only game obviously not favored in is UNC. It's Clemson.
I was like, wait, yeah. What?
Well, again, in Aaron Haynes' eyes, State is a big underdog going to North Carolina at the end of the year. But maybe the UNC and the Louisville games are more coin flippy, but you can say 8 games there are going to be definitive favorites in. 1 Clemson, or 9 definitive favorites, 1 against Clemson, not a favorite, and then the two games in either year could be coin flippy. But that, if you're just going based off that, you kind of have to take the over, in my opinion, just kind of based on Vegas usually knows what they're talking about. And I will do one little quick thing on Vegas. You can still get NC State to win the conference at around plus 750 to plus 1,000, which means you bet $100. If they win the ACC, you win $750 to $1,000, depending on the odds you find.
Right. Are you doing one of those instead of doing them to pick the ACC? You should pick them in all their ACC games. Are you doing one of those?
I was going to say is take them in that, because if you think they're going to win the conference, then you were likely thinking they were going to beat Clemson, but they're not going to be. Probably a 3-1 underdog at Clemson on the road. So you may as well take the future bet now, right? Because if they win that game, they are likely to make it all the way, and you just have better odds long term.
Gotcha. You're sort of if you think they have a chance of beating Clemson, you can get paid bigger by going ahead and take them as the ACC champs, which would be a likely result after winning the Clemson game. Good tip. Final question. We got Summer is the concert series. It's the summer concert season. Actually, fall sometimes in North Carolina is a little bit better because the temps drop. But you've seen a lot of people crossing an item off their bucket list that you think is overrated or not bucket list worthy. Tell us about it.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Well, I feel like a lot of people are going there and they're saying, you got to go see a concert at Red Rocks. That's kind of like the cliche bucket list answer. I need to go see Dave Matthews Band at Red Rocks. It's like a bucket list. But are you only doing that just because you're a Dave Matthews fan? Seeing a concert at Red Rocks isn't like making – he's not singing Crash Into Me a thousand times better just because you're sitting on, like, in a big amphitheater. That's just kind of where I'm coming from on this. It's not a take. It's just I feel like too many people are loving on the Red Rocks piece of things, and I'm like, no, you're just there to see a concert.
All right. It's a fair take. Here's what I'll say. I do think that people are overrating Red Rocks in general, but you don't think if you pick the exact same concert, exact same music, exact same notes played, whatever, you pick it up from Walnut Creek Amphitheater and you drop it at Red Rocks, you don't think that's a slightly more enjoyable experience simply because of the views and the setting around you?
No, not okay. at all. I think, no, I don't. Now, you ask me, I think hearing Despacito live by Luis Fonsi and Justin Bieber in Red Rocks would be cooler than seeing it in Walnut Creek, and that's the only song and person I would personally want to see there at Red Rocks. But no. I just think it's overrated when folks are saying Red Rocks concert is awesome. Like, at the end of the day, you're just there for the concert. It doesn't matter where you're watching it at.
I'm agreeing with you that I do think people overrate it and make a bigger deal. Where I slightly disagree is I think you can add something to it. Like, there's a difference between watching a bowl game at the Sun Bowl when you got mountains in the background and at Shreveport when you got Shreveport in the background or whatever it is. I think setting matters a little bit, but I think your point is well taken. People put too much into it. It's halftime.
Now your halftime entertainment.
All right, let's throw hands, Victoria.
I know, not literally.
I saw people talking on Twitter about a big fight this weekend. What went down?
Huge fight. So UFC San Diego was this past Saturday. The main event was Marlon Chito Vera, who shattered Dominic Cruz's nose in the fourth round with a KO victory. So Cruz, he's been fighting in the UFC since 2005. He's 37 years old and has two torn ACL surgeries. He's such a fighter, though. He comes back every time, like, something to prove. However, Chito, he's a tough cookie, too, and he's hot right now. And okay. He proved that on Saturday because I was surprised. The first three rounds actually looked like Cruz was winning, in my opinion. I thought, wow, he's really doing some damage here. He's really fast. He's got this interesting, like, bounce that he does when he fights to, like, distract people. It works well for him. Except when you get kicked in the face. And Chito landed a perfect kick to the nose, which I hated seeing because I love Cruz. Mm. I love him, but that was brutal. It was awful. So it knocked him out. Main event done. Chito won. I would not be surprised if Cruz retires. I thought he was going to take the gloves off in the ring.
Was there a title on the line?
No.
Okay.
No, just a main event.
And then are these, pardon my ignorance on the MMA, are these... regular, like, are these weekly events? And this is the main event of the week?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's usually a weekly card on Saturdays, and this wasn't a pay-per-view. That was last week. So you could watch it on TV if you had cable, but yeah, it was...
Where, in your sports fandom, mm-hmm. like, where does MMA fit? Is it your number one favorite sport to watch? Or is it, like, number two, three?
That's really difficult because I would say football, hockey, and MMA are, like, all tied for third.
Top. So you've got tiers instead of rankings.
Yes.
So in your top tier, any football, college, NFL?
More NFL.
NFL football,
yes.
NHL hockey, and mm-hmm. MMA.
All are violent.
Victoria's tier one. Yeah, what is that about you?
I don't know.
Do you fight?
I don't know. I probably should just to get some aggression out and, like, you know, work out. Because it's a great workout,
too. I see people that do the boxing thing.
I've
got a boxing gym not far from my house now that I've walked by. And I'm like, it's so close, I should check it out. And I'd like to think I'm okay with being hit in the face, but I don't know that
until you are hit in the face. Yeah. Yeah. I don't really want to, but I think it'd be fun to throw them,
To throw some punches?
Yeah, even if it's in a bag.
100%.
Yeah.
All right, next up on Halftime. Jack Collinsworth and Jason Garrett, next up on the Notre Dame broadcast team. Now, I got a couple comments on this. One, Jason Garrett was last seen openly campaigning for the Duke football job. I think Duke made a good decision not to give it to him. Not that I don't think Jason Garrett is a bright football mind, but I had questions about how devoted and dedicated he would be. And remember, especially college, you're coaching full-time, And then you are also recruiting, like, all the time. And I realize that there's systems in place and you got assistant coach helping you. But, like, I just would have questioned whether or not Jason Garrett is really about that life, like, geared towards working his butt off to be a college football coach. The life that he seems more geared toward is football analyst. And so I think he found his right spot there. Great for him, Jason Garrett. Maybe he'll continue to climb the ladder. But the other guy is the one I want to talk about. Our man Jack, without a K, Collinsworth. Have you seen this? He spells it J-A-C.
Oh, no.
So, like, I mean, is it Jake? Is it Jace? Is it Jazz? Right. Even?
Yeah.
Like, he wants us to call it Jack, but he takes the K off. Like, why?
Right.
Why are you that guy?
Yeah.
Like, we've accepted some people spell Sarah with an H, some people without. Mm-hmm. Some people spell Sally with an I-E, some people spell it with Y. It's fine, right?
Yeah.
Nobody spells Jack without a K.
No, you're not going to find a Christmas ornament with just J-A-C.
Yeah, there's no J-A-C out there.
No.
But more than his first name is his last name, Collinsworth. Yes, he is the son of Chris Collinsworth, who at least earned his way into the broadcast booth by, I don't know if you knew this, being a wide receiver. Like, everybody assumes that Chris Collinsworth was a quarterback because that's, you know, old white quarterback. He's like Phil Sims or Boomer Esiason or Tony Romo.
Troy,
it's like,
yeah,
Troy Aikman. Oh, it's the old white quarterback. He was a wide receiver.
Yeah.
He was kind of fast.
Take that.
But no, nowhere. I would like percentages broken down on this. There is such a thing as nepotism in sports, right? But ultimately, you're going to have to prove it. You know, like Michael Jordan's kids were not given an NFL contract. Nope, nobody's going to give LeBron James's kids an NBA contract. Excuse me, I said NFL. I meant NBA last time, too. Nobody's going to give LeBron James' kids a big NBA contract. Maybe for show, they'll sign him to a 10-day and let him play on the same team or whatever. But nobody's signing a three-year, $10 million contract just because you're LeBron James's kid, right? But in the broadcasting world, a name is almost all you need in some cases. Now, that's not a knock on guy. We talked about Mike Golic Jr. earlier. Super talented guy. Very good at his job. Excellent. I enjoy listening to him. But, like, having the last name Golic and having your dad be on a radio show that you get to show up and, like, that's your starting point, that's a huge advantage. And to Mike Golic Jr.'s credit, I think that's something that he's always, like, acknowledged, right? So Jack Collinsworth, I don't know him personally, and I don't know that he's a bad guy, but I think what really stuck in my craw about it was he started on the ACC network. Like, they launched the ACC network, and I thought it was cool. They plucked, like, Kelsey Riggs out of Charlotte because she had been in ACC country and she'd, like, covered Charlotte things, right? And they got Wes Durham because he's, like, an ACC guy, right? But Jack Collinsworth was sitting there, and they had a couple, like, former athletes like Carlos Boozer and a couple other dudes, like, played in the ACC. Jack Collinsworth at the ACC network was so blatantly like, well, we got to give Chris Collinsworth kids a job because he asked us, but he's not going to stay there. He's going to end up being on NBC with his dad. And that's exactly where he went. He was doing, like, pregame for NFL, and now he gets the Notre Dame job. And it's just like, again, it's fine that nepotism happens, but, like, the fact that they ran into the ACC network and we had to pretend like this guy cared about the ACC for 6 months until we could advance him up the nepotistic ladder. Well, now he's landed at the pristine seat of calling Notre Dame football. Congratulations. Was that the only halftime? Oh, we got the UFC results. Sorry if I went a little long on Jack Collinsworth.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.